It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
So welcome to another episode of Adventures in Business. I am here with my co-host, Amy. Amy, how are you?
I am doing great, Lisa. We're recording this on Valentine's Day. I know it won't be put out until a little bit later, but happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah. I'm excited to hear about our guest that we have today. He's done so much for us, and yet I've never had the opportunity to hear his story. So please introduce who's our guest today.
Yeah, we're going on an adventure with Hammond Chamberlain. He is our man behind the mic, behind the audio. He makes us sound good. He works his magic on every single episode that we have. I have the pleasure of working with him on another podcast that we produce together, and this is going to be a great conversation. So welcome to our show, Hammond.
Glad to be here. I've been listening since the beginning, so excited.
Yeah, intently.
Do you have a bloopers roll by chance?
Actually, I've decided that I am going to get a tattoo of the waveform of It'll be Amy's right.
That's fair. For sure.
Hammond, why don't you go ahead and start with telling us who you are and what you do?
The short story is my name is Hammond Chamberlain. I started podcasting in 2013, showed up on an episode of Retro Movie Geek talking about the movie Trick or Treat with Gene Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne in it. I had such a good time that I came upstairs and told my wife, I got to do this more often. The following month, I made an appearance on Brian Ibbett's Coverville, celebrating, you know, covers. And then the very next month, I started Beyond the Playlist, and it's been going since then. I've never missed a week. Some episodes I put out 2 a week. So I'm looking at approaching 600 interviews.
Wow, 600 interviews. Which interview has been your best so far?
Oh my gosh. It's not a matter of best. It's a matter of moments. Like when I interviewed Howard Levy, who used to play with Bella Fleck, and he's a harmonica player that's known for lots and lots of cool stuff. While I was talking to him, he just picked up his harmonica and started noodling during the interview. So I have all these improvisational moments of him just kind of playing, which is, hey, it's magic when that kind of stuff happens. And then I interviewed a lady named Ellie Brown, and she tells her story. And when I was done, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I don't have to hear anything else. She is the most amazing woman on the planet. I mean, she's overcome so much and she's got such a great attitude. And I was kind of like, okay, I'm done. I don't need to talk to anybody else, but I kept going.
Wow. Besides the fact that you are producing podcasts for yourself, how many other podcasts do you work on for other people like you do for us?
Okay. So I do 2 for you. I do From the Future with Love for Rainbow Creative. It's a social action show where you have like a call to action at the end to kind of make the world a better place. Produce Women Kick Ass, which is about stunt women and strong women in the action film community, hosted by Daniel Bergio. I've produced Current Geek Chronicles for Scott Johnson, Soundography, the other show I do. I think I'm up to about 6 or 7 shows on the regular now, including America's Next Top Podcasting Idol, which goes into season 4 in just a few weeks.
Are you involved in American Hauntings?
No, I love that show. I wish I was involved with American Hauntings. I love Troy Taylor and yes. Work he does on that show.
Yeah, you put me onto that one too. I listen to that all the time. I love that one too.
It's an awesome show.
Yeah, well, and you and I met through our mutual friend, Carrie, who had a podcast studio and had a couple podcasts that she was producing before she decided to go back to school and become a student again. So we both love her.
The one I did for her was, it was the estate law show.
I don't remember what it was called, but she also did Trivia Geeks.
Yeah, I was on that a number of times. Yeah. I was on that a number of times.
That was fun. Yeah, for sure. So what did you do before you got into podcasting, Hammond?
So I graduated with a degree in sociology with an emphasis in criminal deviance. And right out of college, I was a crisis worker at the Salt Lake County jails doing suicide prevention and crisis intervention. I did that for 6 years. And then I went and worked in theater for 5 years, building sets, hanging lights, stage managing, that kind of stuff. And then I went back to work for the courts, and I did that for one of the jobs I held down for another almost 15 years. And then I was also a drug and alcohol counselor for adolescents in locked facilities from about 2005 till 2010.
Wow, that's quite a difference between doing that kind of work and what you do now. But
it's all really just talking to people.
Yeah.
I don't usually get starstruck, and I don't feel intimidated by other people anymore because I've sat across the desk from people who've committed really scary, honest to goodness, horrible crimes. And you kind of had to learn how to judge your reactions to that. So when I sit down and talk to someone who's, you know, quote unquote famous, they're just doing a job. It just, we know happen to know more about that person's job than they know about mine. It kind of helped create a level playing field for everybody when I interact with them.
I can see that for sure.
When did you discover you had such a passion for people and talking to others?
Probably when I was in college. I mean, I kind of fell into the theater program, like probably an unofficial theater minor, because one of the early minors I had was advertising. And I realized, well, for one of the classes I had to take, it was a speech and diction class. And the guy was in the theater program and he's like, oh, if you want extra credit, then do theater. And so through most of college, my social life was doing theater. I mean, I worked at a dance club for a short time, but you know, I was doing shows. I'd do 3 or 4 shows a year. And that's where my social group was. And then I realized that that's kind of, you get accepted for kind of being whoever you are, which is nice because many places you have to conform. And what's nice about the theater and music and those kind of areas is they accept the quirky. They take you for the things that make you different. They kind of celebrate that. So I really enjoyed being in that part of the, you know, part of the creative field. But, you know, I mean, I was raised in a mindset of you need a real job and you need to have benefits and a steady paycheck and all the other stuff can be hobbies. And I guess I got lucky that I fell ass backwards into a career that I was kind of wired for, because if I hadn't been wired for it, I'd kind of be a mess because of the stuff I had to deal with.
Right. And now you're making a living doing podcasts, producing them and editing them and all kinds. That's amazing. And you're very good at it. So you make us sound good. I always say that he makes us sound good.
So what are you excited about the most that you have with your podcasting business in the industry that you're in?
Well, one of the things is just the opportunity to continue learning, because every year technology grows and changes. My New Year's resolution this year is to learn how to do Final Cut Pro and work in video. And some people, Amy in particular, has been keeping me so busy that it's having a hard time getting the new learning in, but I'll get there.
Where do you think the podcasting world is going right now? I mean, I know I see like all these posts, so podcasting is changing and it's not the same and all this kind of stuff. What do you think is the big changes that are coming up?
Everyone's going to a visual medium. I feel like that's part going to be more so, but then again, audio, you can listen to while you're driving. You can't watch video when you're driving. And that's still something people do. I mean, podcast consumption is either through earbuds or your car or stereo. So
I had somebody say to me the other day, I think there's about 500 people left in the US that don't have a podcast.
Yeah. Back in the 90s, it was, oh, come see me do my set at the improv comedy show. Come watch my comedy. And right. Now come be on my podcast.
Right. Yep.
The pandemic created, I mean, I became officially employed as a podcast producer when the pandemic started, because everyone started one.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely an opportunity for people to tap into their creative side and get that kind of stuff going.
And also, if you can make Zoom audio or phone audio sound better, people are going to come find you, because that's something everyone needs. I mean, when CNN is having problems with, you know, roomy, boomy audio from their interviews, then finding people who can do that for podcasts, people are going to come looking for you.
Yep.
Was there ever a time where you doubted what you were doing?
Oh, all the time. I mean, when I started in 2017, my wife and I started a show, kind of a whole endeavor called Climb Out Sobriety. And it was kind of like an online sober living community, kind of mixing the best of the worlds I was working in. And we gave it a good solid trot for a year, but we kept getting hacked. I was not feeling it at all. And one of the things is when you're doing podcasting, your genuine or authentic self comes through. So you have to be into what you're doing or people are going to pick up on it. And I just wasn't feeling it. And so after a year of that, I kind of started wondering if I, you know, jumped off the ledge too soon or the wrong direction. And it took a while to kind of get me back where I was like, okay, I'm good. We can make another go at this.
Yeah, that's definitely a really good point about you have to feel it. In my other podcast that I do, my co-host Kevin, if one of us, it's kind of a hobby for us where we try to do it every week, but it's not as as scheduled or as rigid as some of them would be. And if either one of us are just not feeling it or not in a good mood, we're like, yeah, let's do it tomorrow. Cause we don't want that, you know, we don't want that to come through for sure. And he's like semi-retired. So if I feel like every other week, he's like, oh, I'm busy. I'm being retired.
So. Well, when I was working at the jail, I was supervising and I was doing scheduling. I ran into this thing called that I called retirement entitlement, which means these guys who have already done it and retired now can set their own schedule. So you're not going to make those guys work graveyards because they've already put in the work to get the shifts that are easier for them to work. So I respect the guys who already put their stuff in. I'm not going to make them do things they don't want to do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, how'd you say that? Retirement entitlement? I like that. Yeah, you definitely earned that, right? Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about advice. So you've had a few different careers along the way. You've started your own business and, you know, none of those things we do by ourselves. We always get input from people, sometimes too much input for people. So was there ever a time where you got bad advice from somebody?
I am sure that there have been, especially when I was working before I started podcasting, because with the podcasting, everyone in my circle, that's kind of a mystery. And the people who do know what's going on just kind of let me do my own thing. But when I was working before, I'm sure there was bad advice, you know, working with kids. Oh, that's so much easier than working with adults. No, it's not. Kids are actually sadder because there's still hope. And then you spend all this time working with them and then you send them back to the situations exactly where they started. Sometimes it works and sticks and sometimes it doesn't. They said, work in a jail because you have a certain box in your purview. No, working in a jail is really hard because those people don't want help. They don't even want to be in the building, let alone your help. So yeah, I've gotten some bad advice.
What is some of the best advice that you have received?
My second interview I did with a guy named Justin Robert Young. He and his co-host Brian Brushwood do Night Attack and they do a bunch of things together. And Justin gave me three pieces of advice and then I added my own there at the end. So the first one is, don't be afraid to suck. When you get started, just start doing it. Don't think about if you suck or not. Just start doing it. You will get better. The next one is, when someone asks you to do a thing, you do a thing. I get asked to do a show, I do a show. If they're asking me to do editing for a thing, I'll do a thing. And that served me incredibly well. I mean, I don't think I would have ever gotten as far as I have in this field if I hadn't just been willing to do and appear wherever. And then the third one is be consistent. And I've taken that one kind of to a nutty level with Beyond the Playlist, like almost diagnostic with my never missing a week. But that being consistent, people start to rely on that schedule. And when you have whether it's you release a show once a month or every 2 weeks or every Wednesday or whatever it is, people start counting on that. And that consistency is a key to helping you maintain an audience. And the fourth piece of advice kind of came from my wife and a conversation we were having. And it was that metrics, the numbers you see of downloads, that's not the only definition of success. You can have a show that has 50,000 downloads an episode, but you're kind of unfulfilled with that. The relationships I've built with Beyond the Playlist, it's like the core. I'm actually, part of me kind of at some points has conversation about shutting that show down, but I'm afraid to because everything I've accomplished is spawned out of that show. All the friends I have that I can call and ask for favors, all the relationships I have as far as other contributors and people who do show art and things like that all come from that show. And so I kind of think the relationships are a way I define success as far as that show's concerned.
Yes, we've been having so much fun, you know, talking and interviewing the people on this show. This is much different than my other one. We have guests every once in a while on that show, but this show is centered around guests and the people that we've met. And Lisa and I just this past Saturday walked around Old Town Lansing. It's like a kind of an art district in the Lansing area. And Lisa made up a flyer. We walked around and talked to so many business owners and just face to face, invited them to be on the show. A few of them have signed up. It was so much fun. I mean, these are some stores I go in all the time. Sometimes some of them I've never been in. And that was a lot of fun. I can't wait to have those people on the show. Yes. I'm really excited about the new barbershop that's in town. That guy was.
I heard about him talking about that. The popcorn guy was talking about that one.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. And we met him and we went into that space. It's really cool. It's very steampunky. So totally right up my alley. So excited about that.
Are you going to get the little stickers for them or the things that you stick in the window that says as heard on Adventures in Business?
what we are now, Hammond, that you mentioned that. For sure. Yeah, that'd be great. That's a good point. We should do that. We're racking up the people signing up. I think March is all filled up. They got to go into April to fill up. So
yeah, I was kind of surprised at how far down the path I had to look for open time.
Yeah, it's exciting.
You guys are hip and hopping.
Yeah, that's right.
Get ready for the biggest marketing summit in Lansing's history. Circle Friday, May 6, 2022 on your calendar. Zedia Media will be hosting the summit at the Royal Scott Banquet Facility. All the big bosses of marketing will be there, including key sponsors like M Connections, Super Web Pros, Uno Deuce Multimedia, Paper Image, Michigan Creative, Jungle Jane, and Weathervane Roofing. Tickets are on sale now at zediamedia.com. That's ZEEDIA media.com. 17 presentations on marketing trends you need to know for your business. Big prizes, lots of fun. Your presence will be honored. Your absence will be noted.
You are also going to be a featured speaker on our upcoming social or marketing summit that's coming up in May. What are you going to be talking about? Tell our listeners.
Mostly about the kind of the nuts and bolts of what you need to start a podcast, what kind of tools you'll need, how you can scale up once you start, if you need to scale up once you start, you know, microphones, computer, software, all that kind of stuff. And I actually was working on that yesterday during the Super Bowl, so I could have a first draft done soon. So
yeah. Nice. And in hiring an amazing sound engineer named Hammond, that should be part of your podcast plan.
One of the things I did talk about is the conversations you need to have with a producer when you hire them, because a lot of it has to depend on style. Like, if you want it to cut out all the ums and dead space, do you want it more informal? Do you want it to be structured a certain way? There's lots of conversations to have about what the show is going to look like when it's done. And editing and producing is an art form, and everyone's going to have their own kind of spin on it. So conversations like that are super important to have, because if it comes out too sterile, it's not a good representation of the host or how they want to be seen or how the guests want to be seen. So you need to have those conversations and keep those conversations going, because what's great about podcasting, especially when it's just like with me, a one-man show, is you can pivot pretty easily. So you could go from an interview-based show to one where it's just you guys talking about local businesses, and then you could pivot back, or it could go to one person, or there's lots of different ways you can pivot a show without changing it completely. And when those conversations are ongoing, you can say, yeah, I want to pivot it to be more this way. And those conversations are important to continue having. Or if there's tech issues and the producer needs to feel free enough to say, hey, you didn't use your microphone, you used your computer mic. So I got a lot of room noise and it didn't sound right. And they need to be able to go, right, okay, yeah, thanks, sorry. And fix it.
Yeah, or this guest said this on this show. Do you really want that in this, or should we cut that out, Amy?
I've said that a lot. And I've also said, I've also pulled out a lot of space to make them sound more succinct, because some people him and haw around it. So you clean up the dead space, you remove a bunch of fumbled words, and all of a sudden they're a master speaker.
Right. And we tell our guests that, you know, before we start recording, we say this is pre-recorded and we edit it. So if you want to re-say something or take a moment to pause and think of an answer, and we always tell them Hammond works his magic. He'll make you sound good. So
it's interesting. It's you guys that usually end up restarting, though.
Right. I know. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they probably don't think they don't remember they can't. They just reset. Yeah, but we've done it enough times for sure. And that is so true what you said about just don't worry about it. If you suck, you get better at it, because I go back and listen to the first couple of shows I did with my other podcast, and I'm like, oh, we're so much better now.
And the interesting thing is even after, if you're a seasoned podcaster, the first few episodes of any new show is going to have its growing pains. I go back and listen to episodes of Soundography, and we started that in 2015. So I'd already been at it for a couple of years and I thought I was pretty good. You go back and listen to a few episodes of Soundography there at the beginning, and you're like, I'm surprised this show continued. And now you listen to the new ones and you're like, oh, wow. He learned a lot of new tricks. He's got a bunch of new tools. He's got a bunch of new software. Another good one is America's Next Top Podcasting Idol. In the middle of season 2, I learned an awful lot about sound and I started using plugins to help me shape sound. So the first episode of season two sounds a certain way, and the last episode of season two sounds a very, very different way and a much better way because I had learned so much in that interim process.
That's very cool. Talk a little bit about that show.
So that is a reality show. Well, actually, it's a how-to podcast wrapped up in the box of a reality program. So it's like American Idol or any of those kind of competition reality shows. But it really, at its core, is a learn how to podcast show. And we have, I think we did the math. We have almost 80 years of podcasting experience between the host, the producers, and the judges. Then we bring in guests who are specialized in certain areas or certain aspects of entertainment, editing, comedy, coaching, whatever. And we bring them in. We run competitions. And at the end, people win prizes and awards and get featured on a big podcast network and all kinds of stuff.
And what's your role in that?
I'm a show creator and the producer. So the first two seasons of it, it was just me and Brian. And then season three and four, we have basically a team.
What's your favorite part of all of this? What excites you the most? I know you said you like talking to people, but the whole technical aspect behind everything and being out there.
I really like the learning aspect of it. I like the learning. I like the teaching too, because I realized that a lot of, especially once we started doing podcasting, a lot of what I can do is actually help people skip all the bumps and valleys I fell into. And I since I started with kind of a lower budget system and setup, I know how to phase up and I can say, look, for free, you can use this program. And this microphone costs $30 and it actually sounds really, really good. And web cameras don't have to cost a fortune. And you don't really have to have a laptop. You can do it on your tablet or you can even do it on your phone. And there are lots of things that I can kind of help people navigate through and teach them without having them have to fall into the hole themselves. Because falling into holes isn't fun.
Right. Yeah. You've given us so much good advice along our journey too, and definitely helped us skip some growing pains for sure. So I know that you mentioned that new video software that you got over Christmas, and that's one of your goals for this year. So are you reading or listening to anything else these days that's giving you inspiration, or are you just too busy with all of your podcast stuff?
I've got a book on Final Cut that's probably 3 or 4 inches thick that I'm trying to navigate through. I've used the book, but mostly I've been following on YouTube videos to kind of learn that. But as far as other things, I have been reading a book on, it's called Nothing But a Good Time. It's a book about the Sunset Strip bands in the 80s. And it's a ton of fun and I've enjoyed that. As far as music, Dream Theater had a new album drop the other day or a while back. It's called View from Top of the World. And I saw them in concert recently. Been listening to that a ton. As I listened to your show, because I listened to it, all these people have all these amazing things. Like all your people are like business podcasts and entrepreneur podcasts. And one of the things that's hardest for me to get my head around is the fact that I guess I run a business. I guess I am a business. But really, I just see myself as a dude in his basement helping people out.
Love it. As long as it's not your mom's basement, I think that's acceptable. You know, one of the things that we often ask people on the show is to give our listeners the best piece of advice. And I know him and you can give us all kinds of podcasting advice. And I'm going to tweak this question a little bit. What advice would you give people to be able to make a career out of something that they're passionate about?
I think that the piece of advice would be something along the lines of, you got to make sure you love it. I mean, the minute you turn a hobby into a job, it changes the perspective of the hobby. And you need to be ready for that change because now something you were doing for fun on Fridays, Saturdays, or the weekends is now something you have to do. And in many cases, bills, livelihood, gas money, food money is now stemmed from this quote unquote old hobby of yours. And so having that mental switch flipped to help you understand that you still love it, it's just now more important. That's an important thing to be aware of when you take the thing that you love and make it the thing you do.
Yeah, so it doesn't become the thing that you now hate.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, that's the thing is, the minute this feels like work, I either step away And if it continues to feel like work, then it's got to be something that I take a break from, or sometimes I even communicate with the person I'm working with and say, hey, look, I got to burner this for a little bit until I'm ready to do it. And the other thing I will say is boundaries, because there are lots of people, I will tell a story without pulling any names out or situations too far, but I had been working with a group of people and I said, I'm going on vacation. I'm not taking a computer with me. 4 days in my vacation, I get a message. Hey, can you fix this edit for me? And I said, I'm on vacation. I didn't bring a computer. And I said, you know what? I'm not your guy for the show. I had to walk away because I just couldn't sacrifice my boundaries. You have to establish boundaries and communicate them and hold people to those boundaries.
Yeah, that is so important. I hope all of our listeners are listening to that right now. It's something that doesn't always come naturally to everybody. It's something that a lot of business owners or people in general have to learn over time. And it also helps if you have a business coach reminding you of that regularly too, like my Lisa Fisher. For sure.
Yep. Well, I think mine came from working at the jail, because you had to put up walls to protect yourself while working. Sure. While I was working there. And when you're working within that setting, you need to figure out ways to keep yourself safe. And it just translates over for me in the way I approach this is like, you know what? I don't need this. I don't need this in my life. I got plenty of other options. Something else will come along. I'm taking care of myself on this. And I'll be as nice as I possibly can until I don't have to be anymore, or I can't. Like Roadhouse.
Right. Yeah. You know, I always say that I really love working in marketing because there's rarely, if ever, any emergencies in marketing. You know, everything is pretty much scheduled out and thought of and approved and all that kind of stuff. Plus it's creative and it's fun. But that doesn't mean that sometimes clients think something is an emergency, even though it's not. So you have to train people that you're not going to jump through fiery hoops for them and answer texts at 11 o'clock at night and all that kind of stuff. So yep, I hear you. It's very important.
And it's a lesson that I think could be applied to any part of a life, but it can be specifically applied if you're like a one-man or two-person show, as far as a business or an endeavor of any kind, where you're kind of putting yourself out there to people to respond in kind of, oh, I need this from you right now. No, you don't.
Right. Well, and when you're first starting out, you're hungry, right? I mean, you want all the jobs and all the clients and all the things. And so you're willing to sometimes jump through those hoops or bend over backwards. And then when your business grows, you realize you just don't have time to do that, or you don't want to. And exactly like you said, I mean, every single time I've had to part ways with a client for whatever reason, usually two more come along. You know, so it's just making room for the next thing, and not every client is the right client for you.
And that's the thing, is I'm willing to push off people and say, you know what? I know a guy who might be able to work with you, and I will send them off to other people because I don't want to leave anyone high and dry, but at the same time, I'm not doing it.
Right.
Very good. That's excellent information, advice. You're right. You can apply that anywhere, because really once you negate your own boundaries and expectations, now that becomes the norm for other people. So it's very important to continue to enforce those. So thank you. Hammond, is there anything we have not asked you that you would like to share with the listeners?
When I was in college, I played harmonica professionally. And since 2010, I've been learning how to play the Chapman stick, which is a 10-string tap style instrument invented by Emmett Chapman. Played by Tony Levin and John Myung and Greg Howard, who used to be with the Dave Matthews Band, and Steve Adelson. So yeah, it's a very cool instrument. Not very good at it, but I'm learning.
I love it. Very good. Very good. Is there anybody else that we should be talking to?
So I'm going to point you in the direction of the guy who does my show art. His name is Phil Rood. He's an incredible artist. He's great to work with. He's done the show art that I use for Beyond the Playlist. I've used it since 2015, but then he also added a new element to my show art just recently, because Beyond the Playlist now has, once a month, we go to the movies. And I have a regular person that I work with who lives in London, and she and I watch a movie and then talk about it kind of in depth. She's a filmmaker, so she has her point of view to it. I'm an old guy who's read a lot of books, so I bring my point of view to it. And we have really interesting conversations about movies that maybe aren't typical for movie review podcasts. So his name is Phil Rood. And then the other person is the host of From the Future with Love. His name is Johan Martinez Kalilian. He is a business coach, but he is also a public speaker and the host of From the Future with Love. And he is an excellent guy to talk to because he has a lot of insight into businesses and presenting yourself and kind of presenting information in ways that people can understand.
That is, thank you. That's great. And if you have their contact information, send it along to us.
Or I will drop it off as soon as we're done here. I'll text.
Perfect. Well, this has been an amazing conversation. It's good to see your face. I know we text a lot, but it's nice to see your face. And thank you again for everything that you do for our show and for our listeners out there. If you are interested at all in starting your own podcast or want to know more about it, ZD Media does produce podcasts and Hammond does the technical stuff like that. And he also does it. So you can reach out to me or to him. And please subscribe to Adventures in Business. And we will see you next week.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at zediamedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to zediamedia.com. That's ZEEDIAMEDIA.com and sign up.
This is a Zedia Media production.